Ned held up a hand and I stopped talking, which was actually a pleasure. I hadn't much wanted to revisit that long-gone meeting in the first place. What about the tests that guy B.B. Roth did? All inconclusive, I said. The stuff that looked like vinyl wasn't exactly vinyl. Close, but that was all. The paint chips didn't match up to any in the automotive paints B.B. had samples of. The wood was wood, likely oak, B.B. said, but that was all he would say, no matter how much Tony pressed him. Something about it bothered him, but he wouldn't say what. Maybe he couldn't, Shirley said. Maybe he didn't know. I nodded. The glass in the windows and windshield is plain old sandwich safety glass, but not trademarked. Not installed on any Detroit assembly line, in other words. The fingerprints? I ticked them off on my own fingers. Ennis, your father, Bradley Roach. End of story. No prints from the man in the black trench coat. He must have been wearing gloves, Ned said.
You'd think so, yes.
Brad couldn't say for sure, but he thought he remembered seeing the guy's hands and thinking they were as white as his face. People sometimes make up details like that afterwards, though, Huddy commented. Eyewitnesses aren't as reliable as we'd like them to be.
You done philosophizing? I asked.
Huddy gave me a grand wave of the hand.
Continue.
B.B. found no traces of blood in the car, but fabric samples taken from the interior of the trunk showed microscopic traces of organic matter. B.B. wasn't able to identify any of it, and the stuff, he called it soap scum, disintegrated. Every slide he took was clear of the stuff in a week. Nothing left but the staining agent he used. Huddy raised his hand like a kid in school. I nodded to him. A week later, you couldn't see the places where those guys chipped the dashboard and the wheel to get their samples. The wood grew back like skin over a grape. Same with the lining in the trunk. If you scratched a fender with a penknife or a key 6 or 7 hours later, the scratch would be gone.
It heals itself? Ned said. It can do that?
Yes, Shirley said. She lit another parliament and was smoking it in quick, nervous little puffs. Your father dragooned me into one of his experiments once, got me to run the video camera. He put a long scratch down the driver's side door, right under the chrome swoop, and we just let the camera run. Came back together every 15 minutes. It wasn't anything dramatic, like something in a movie, but it was pretty damned amazing. The scratch got shallower and started to darken around the edges, like it was working to match the paint job. And finally it was just gone. All sign of it.
And the tires, Phil Candleton said, taking a turn. You shoved a screwdriver into one of them, the air'd start to whoosh out just like you'd expect, only then the whoosh'd thin to a whistle, and a few seconds later that would stop too. Then out comes a screwdriver.
Phil pursed his lips and made a sound, like spitting out a watermelon seed.
Is it alive? Ned asked. His voice was so low I could hardly hear it. I mean, if it can heal itself.
Tony always said it wasn't, I said. He was vehement on the subject. Just a gadget, he used to say. Just some kind of goddamn thingamajig we don't understand.
Your dad thought just the opposite, and by the end, he was just as vehement as Tony had ever been. If Curtis had lived...
What? If he'd lived, what?
I don't know, I said. All at once, I felt dull and sad. There was a lot more to tell, but suddenly I didn't want to tell it. I didn't feel up to it, and my heart was heavy with the prospect of it, the way your heart can grow heavy at the prospect of toil, which is necessary but hard and stupid. Stumps to pull before sundown, hay to bundle into the barn before afternoon rain.